You want me to stay in here while you bathe? He wasn't sure if he was misunderstanding what you wanted.
If you don't want to, can Luca or Axel? I don't want to be alone. The quiet is too loud sometimes, and I feel trapped in it.
Fuck if he was going to let Axel or Luca in here while she was naked. I can stay. I will just step out while you get in. He waited in the bedroom for a full 2 minutes, trying to get himself under control. His mind was flooding him with all kinds of filthy fantasies, and the bond was capitalizing on them. It liked the idea of her wet and naked. It liked that idea a lot. When he re-entered the bathroom, Tessa was just coming back up from under the water, her hair plastered to her head and water dripping down her skin. He'd put jasmine and lavender-scented soap in for her, so at least the suds obscured her naked flesh from his view. She leaned her head back against the tub and closed her eyes.
You can't sleep in the bathtub, beautiful.
Theon moved to stand next to her, with his hands shoved deep into his pockets.
I know.
Her fingers skimmed through the bubbles.
We need to talk about something.
Her eyes opened at that.
I don't know what those things were that came up out of the ground. I don't know what that was, or how it happened.
That statement was definitely something he would be revisiting later on this afternoon. But he needed to get this bond sorted out first. It wasn't supposed to be like this. And after today, he needed it firmly in place.
Let's come back to that. Why are you terrified of me, Tessa?
I'm not scared of you.
Pavel and Matthias have gifts that can amplify certain emotions. When they touched you, they used their power to amplify your greatest fears. Theon pulled his hands from his pockets and rolled back his sleeves. He lowered to his knees beside the tub.
When I found you, you were terrified because of what had happened, yes. But you were also terrified of what I was going to do to you.
He took the cloth he'd set out for her and dunked it into the water. He gently began cleaning dry blood from her arm.
I don't want you scared of me, Tessa. I just need your submission.
I'm trying, Theon.
Are you? Because it shouldn't be this hard to give in to a bond. Once you do, things can be different. This would have never happened.
He dunked the cloth and guiding her forward so he could run it down her back. He slid her long hair over one shoulder.
How do you figure that?
You would have been with me. I wanted to wait until you'd adjusted and accepted the bond before requiring you to attend meetings with me. But it appears that can no longer be the case.
Maybe if you would tell me these things instead of keeping me in the dark about everything, I'd be more prepared for these types of situations.
I want to tell you things, Tessa, but I can't.
Not until the bond is fully in place. I need to know I can trust you.
The bond does not equate to trust, Theon.
She slid under the water once more. Theon could hardly see her beneath the bubbles. He waited until she resurfaced, and as she pushed her hair off her face again,
can I ask you a question?
You are the master.
She took the cloth from him and began to scrub her legs.
What does the bond feel like to you?
What?
I'm trying to understand. Because if it feels anything to you, like it does to me, I cannot for the life of me figure out how you are resisting the thing.
Tessa resumed the scrubbing of her legs.
It feels like an ache in the pit of my stomach when I am away from you. It's a constant buzzing, like an itch that won't go away. If it goes on for too long, I feel like vomiting. When I actively resist and pull away from you, the bond punishes me for it.
And when you let me touch you?
She wouldn't look at him, but she'd stopped washing.
I'm ready to get out.
She set the cloth along the edge of the tub.
I will get you a towel in a moment. Answer me first. What does the bond feel like when you let me touch you?
She swallowed audibly, but she didn't offer anything else. He wasn't letting this go that easily, though. He wanted an answer to this one question, and he was prepared to draw it from her lips if needed. She had to act before he could entrance her.
Did you send them to collect me like they said you did?
No, Tessa. I would have called Axel if I wanted you brought to me.
They said...
She pursed her lips, drawing her knees up to her chest, and Theon's gaze snagged on more bare skin.
What did they say, Tessa?
They said that your father had given them permission to make sure my manners had been corrected. And then, when they couldn't find me, They said he was going to be upset they had lost me. What does your father want with me, Theon? Is he the reason you chose me to be your source?
She finally met his gaze, and her eyes were filled with a desperation to understand. No, Tessa. My father did not decide you were to be my source. The relationship between a master and source is too fragile for anyone else to choose it for someone.
You chose it for me.
I meant it is too important for another legacy to choose someone's source for them.
Then why did you choose me? We never met before. You never visited the estate. Why did you pick me out of the hundreds of eligible Fae at the selection?
He could see desperation in her eyes, but Theon didn't have a suitable answer for her. He wished he could explain it, but the truth was he couldn't adequately describe it himself. When I spoke with you in that alcove, I wanted you, and only you. She pressed her lips together and wasn't sure what that meant.
Can I get out now?
Fully aware she hadn't answered his own question, he stood and grabbed two towels from beneath the sink. Up. She looked up at him from beneath her wet lashes.
What?
Up. I'll wrap you in a towel. He expected her to resist, but a quick look of determination filled her face before she gripped the edge of the tub and pulled herself up. Theon didn't even try to hide the fact that he was looking at her. Her long hair covered most of her breasts, but the apex of her thighs was fully exposed, and his entire being was well aware of that. As she stepped over the edge of the tub to the bath mat, he draped a towel around her shoulders. She gripped it between her fingers, covering herself, and he unfolded the second towel to squeeze the water from her hair. When he was done, he went to the closet while she dried off. He didn't grab her clothes, though. He came back with a warm, black fleece bathrobe. He turned her, so she was facing away from him before he pulled the towel from her body. His eyes dropped to her ass as he held the robe open for her to slide her arms into it. Tessa quickly pulled it close around herself, tying it at the waist. When she reached up to tuck a lock of hair behind her ear, the sleeve slid up her arm.
Many of your wounds are already healing.
One of the surface scratches had nearly faded. She sent him a bland look before she stepped around him and moved to the vanity.
I know I am not a legacy, but I am Fae. We do heal faster than mortals.
She dug out a comb from the drawer and began to run it through her hair. As soon as she finished, he was behind her. He braced his hands on the counter on either side of her body, caging her in. Startled, she met his gaze in the mirror.
You never answered my question, beautiful.
He watched the faint pink color creep into her cheeks.
What does the bond feel like when you let me touch you?
He brought his hand up, trailing the tips of his fingers down her neck, barely touching her. She shivered against him.
I have other ways of discovering the answer to that question if you will not tell me.
You will entrance me over this?
He gripped her hips, turning her in his arms before lifting her up and setting her on the vanity counter. He stepped between her legs.
I do not need to entrance you for this.
You said you'd never force this.
A flush returned to her visage. She was still so off balance from the events in the garden. She couldn't hide her emotions as well. And he hated that he didn't know how to read everything playing out on her face. Soon, it wouldn't matter. The mark she would receive on the fall equinox would allow him to feel her emotions. And if she somehow had still not accepted things by then, this would all be much easier to navigate.
I will not force anything, Tessa. You are free to tell me to stop whenever you wish. Or, in the alternative, answer my question, and I will stop immediately.
His fingers skated up her calves. She was practically eye level with him when she was sitting on the vanity, and he slowly brought his mouth to hers.
I will kill those motherfuckers for touching what is mine.
His lips feathered across hers.
I'm not yours.
Lie to yourself, but not to me.
His fingers slipped behind her knees and under the robe. Another shiver rolled through her at the touch.
I'm not lying.
Your body says otherwise. He ran his nose along the length of hers.
It's just this bond.
Her hands gripped the edge of the counter, knuckles turning white.
Is it?
He began trailing his lips under her jaw until he reached the space beneath her ear.
What does it feel like when my fingers trail up your thighs, Tessa?
She tried to hide it, but he heard the soft whimper that escaped from her.
Or when my lips touch here.
He pressed his lips to her throat, sucking lightly and scraping his teeth along her skin. Her breathing became ragged as he trailed his lips lower, and she leaned forward when he began dragging them along her collarbone. His fingers were crawling ever so slowly up her thighs, and for a heartbeat, he thought she was finally going to give in. For a fleeting moment, he thought she was finally going to give the bond exactly what it wanted, but then she spoke.
When you touch me, it feels like pleasure igniting under my skin. When you touch me, it feels like nothing else matters as long as you never stop. It feels like safety and warmth and light.
The last words were such a soft whisper that Theon barely caught them, but he had halted his movements the moment she had started speaking. Not because he told her he would, but because he couldn't believe what he was hearing.
If that is what it feels like, why do you resist it so adamantly?
Because it's not real, Theon. It's just the source bond making me feel that way. My body responding to physical touch. It's not real.
It could be.
Even if that were true, how would you know what is the bond you forced and what is real? How could you tell the difference?
Is this what is keeping you from accepting this?
Yes. No. Part of it, maybe. I don't know.
Her eyes darted away from his. His hands were still beneath her robe, halfway up her thighs.
You know, if you would accept the bond, you wouldn't think about any of that, right?
That's not the... Forget it.
She leaned away from him.
What do I need to wear this afternoon?
You need to rest this afternoon.
Understood. What should I wear to do so?
What were you going to say?
Theon, lunch has been here for 10 minutes. It's getting cold.
Theon held Tessa's gaze for a moment longer before he left her sitting on the vanity to retrieve some clothing for her. He stepped out of the bathroom while she dressed in loose pants and a long-sleeve shirt, and then he led her out to eat. She ate her soup and hot turkey sandwich without a word, and when she finished, she went straight to the sofa. The rest of them weren't even halfway through their meals, but they had also eaten at a much slower pace between light conversation and their gazes constantly cutting to her.
Were you able to meet with her?
Axel tipped his bowl to get the last of his soup.
No, it was too risky for Sienna this time.
You were covered in blood when you got back. If not Sienna, who?
The Three Legacy your father sent me to take care of.
God damn it.
Theon sat back in his chair and tossed his napkin on the table.
When was the last time we talked to Sienna?
Axel had pulled a small mirror from his pocket, fiddling with the thing.
She made contact when I was there during the opening selection ceremony, but I didn't see her. Only received her message.
It's something, I guess.
Theon tapped his finger on the table. Axel gave him a pointed look before he realized it was the same mannerism his father always made. A muscle ticked in his jaw as he swiped up his water glass.
We should discuss how to handle tonight.
I say we let it play out naturally. See if he mentions anything or what he brings up.
That could work.
Father isn't going to bring this up. There's no way he would implicate himself.
He won't give a fuck about implicating himself. He's going to be far more worried about revealing a plan before he is ready to do so. He is up to something, and he doesn't want me to know what it is yet. He will be expecting me to confront him. If we say nothing, it will keep him guessing.
But if Pavel and Matthias had succeeded today, you would have found out anyway. Did she tell you anything about what happened?
She wasn't ready to talk about it yet.
Theon did not reveal that was likely because he was pushing her thoughts elsewhere with his hands halfway up her thighs.
She said that my father had told him to make sure her manners had been corrected. She also mentioned something about things coming out of the ground and not knowing what they were or how it happened.
What things?
She was pretty shaken up. I didn't want to push the subject yet, but we need to look into it. Along with the swords and gold paint or blood,
or whatever the fuck it was, he got to his feet. We can continue this conversation, but I want to be near her. Her sleep will be more restful, and I need her to be at least partially functional for dinner. The others nodded. Axel went to the kitchen and poured them all some liquor before joining them. Tessa was already fast asleep on the sofa, and Theon carefully repositioned her so she rested on a pillow in his lap. He pulled the blanket she had covered up with higher over her shoulder and stroked her hair back. I don't blame you, Axel. Theon took a glass from him. There is nothing you could have done differently. You telling her to run was the best thing you could have done, and I'm grateful. But until we know what Father is planning, she needs to be with me whenever possible. Luca and Axel didn't look thrilled by the idea, but they didn't broker any arguments against it either.
So are you going to have her attend meetings with us?
Unless you have a better idea. She'll need to start attending them when we get to the Acropolis anyway.
What happened to easing her into this?
That changed when he came after what is mine. Axel was staring at Tessa's sleeping form, a slight frown on his face.
Do you think Iviana was like her? Before Father did what he did?
Both Theon and Luca understood where he was going with that statement. I don't know. I have a hard time picturing her any other way. She was Father's source long before we came along. He selected her before he was matched with Mother.
Maybe it's because we've never interacted with the Fae until they're in service to the kingdom, but she's just...
He studied the sleeping female.
It makes me wonder if they're all like this before they're forced to become what they're assigned to be.
We wouldn't know. We've never visited the estates, and we only observe them during trials and selection years.
I've been to the estates a few times. The younger Fae are more carefree and free-spirited, but that's to be expected before they're assigned to their kingdoms and duties.
So, any ideas which heirs we're going to try to befriend when we get to the Acropolis?
Father has already demanded I am to make alliances with Celeste and Feylene. He believes Anala to be a lost cause. Theon brought his drink to his lips. Tessa shifted slightly beneath his hand, and his fingers flexed around her shoulder.
And in the meantime, who do you think our best bets are to forge true alliances with?
We didn't get a lot of time to watch them at the selection ceremony. Luca has been doing some digging and gathering information, but I think the week at the Acropolis with just the ruling families will give us the best idea of that. I'm hoping for Feylene and Anala. Serafina would be ideal, but that kingdom is fiercely loyal to the Akaz kingdom.
So much depends on her.
Luca's sapphire gaze fixed on Tessa.
You should have chosen someone else, Theon.
He stood and set his empty glass on the coffee table.
I will see you all at dinner.
He left, the door banging shut behind him. Theon closed his eyes and leaned his head back against the sofa.
He's worried.
He thinks Tessa isn't the one for what must be done. That she's too unpredictable. It is why I require her complete submission. It is why I am pushing her so hard to give in to the Source Bond. I need the loyalty the bond creates. We can't tell her everything without it.
Perhaps your time would be better spent focusing on a real bond rather than a forced one.
We don't have time for that, and you know it. Axel beamed him with a knowing glare. Do you no longer agree with the plan and what needs to happen?
Of course I know what needs to happen, Theon.
It took a lot to rile Axel, but when you did, his rage almost made him more formidable than Theon. Almost. We have planned this for too long. Too much hangs in the balance for her to mess with the plans. She will fall into line. If she had accepted this fate, nothing like today would have happened. You and Luca need to get it through your heads. This is happening. We cannot change it. So, either help me convince her to accept this, or stop coming around until she has. You can pass the message on to Luca.
I think Luca realizes that, Theon. It's why he wishes you'd have chosen someone else.
And you? Axel leaned forward, his forearms braced on his knees, a muscle feathered in his jaw the same way Theon's did when he was irritated.
She'd be safer if she accepted it. She'd be safer, and our plans could move forward.
Thank the fucking gods. Finally, they were understanding what he had been trying to get across to them since she came into their lives like a tempest. Can you grab my laptop? I have work to do this afternoon. Theon nodded towards the desk.
Sure thing.
Axel got up to retrieve the computer. He placed it down in the armrest next to Theon.
So, we're going to do this then? We're really going to let our monsters out of their cages? Show her what the rest of the realm sees?
Sometimes we need to become a monster to kill one, Axel. I've shielded her as long as I could. She was going to see us for what we are eventually.
And when she becomes one of us?
She won't.
Theon.
She won't, Axel. Axel didn't say anything else. Simply turned and left, just as Luca had. She wouldn't end up like them. She had been raised to be this. She had been raised to be... Well, she had been raised to serve the legacy. Other than what was in the file of information he had, he really didn't know anything else about how she'd been raised on the estate. Born at one of the Serana villas in the Akaz kingdom, she'd been sent to the Celeste estate the moment she was born. That was likely the real reason she hadn't known her birthday. Serana, goddess of love and fertility, her legacy were all sworn to the Akaz kingdom. Theon huffed a humorless laugh. They had the fertility part down. Not enough Fae had families of their own. Some by choice, most due to the duties they were assigned. On top of that, it was difficult for Fae to conceive in general. Numbers had started to diminish despite the extended lifespans they shared with the legacy. So, centuries ago, the kingdoms all met and agreed that something needed to be done. A new accord was made, and some Fae were assigned to the Akaz kingdom to serve under the Serana bloodline. And the love part of their duties? Escorts and entertainment. The decision had been unanimous among the kingdoms, but even if Arya's kingdom hadn't agreed for whatever reason, it wouldn't have mattered. There had forever been a divide between them and the others. It stemmed from a disagreement between the Akaz and Arya's kingdoms centuries ago. And over time, Arya's kingdom had become more and more withdrawn from the rest of Devrim. That was fine with Theon. They had more than enough resources within their borders to provide for their people. They had defenses, they had wealth, they had the Ozul Mountains, and they had the underground. But while Theon was fine with remaining the Nightmare Kingdom of Devrim, his father wasn't. Things had escalated between him and Rordan Jove, the Akaz lord over the last several decades. And now his father wanted more. Akaz kingdom had long been the law of Devrim, upholding accords and handing out judgment for those who broke them, despite Arius being the god of judgment and endings. And while those with the gravest offenses were sent to them to be held in the underground, his father was no longer happy being the shunned kingdom only good enough for those Devrim didn't want to deal with. Now that his heirs were coming of age to claim sources of their own, his father was ready to put plans into motion that had been in place since before Theon was born. His father may be the biggest god's damn dick known to Devrim, but he was smart and cunning and willing to wait for opportunity. The thing was, he'd instilled those same qualities into his children. He'd created monsters that were equally cunning and willing to do whatever was necessary to get what they wanted. The difference was, they didn't have the luxury of time. Their father had centuries of time to craft his plan. They'd had to get there faster. And while they were advancing their father's plans, they were also furthering their own. Every move they made put them at risk of being caught, of the wrong thing getting back to his father. All the more reason Tessa needed to accept this source bond. Theon clicked open a message from Bodin, his father's commander of forces. Skimming the message regarding the new males and females being received at the underground this week, none of them were of interest to him, and he moved on to the next message. Eventually, he stopped reading them all together and opened a locked folder of research he'd been putting together on getting past wards. The thing was, he was fairly certain the key to that was sleeping in his lap.
The balcony she stood on was high above the ground, overlooking fields of green and gold. Grasses swayed gently in a breeze under a grey sky that somehow didn't feel gloomy, considering the colour. In one direction, far off in the distance, she could make out mountains, lightning flashing periodically as if a never-ending storm hovered. In the other direction, there was a sprawling city. Buildings obscured the skyline, and she couldn't tell where the city ended. This was clearly a country manor of some kind. A noise behind her had her spinning around, and she found a stunning female emerging from a set of double doors. Tessa went still, unsure of where she was or what she was supposed to do. The female's hair was nearly the exact shade of her own. Loose and wavy, it flowed down around her shoulders, reaching nearly to her navel, the tips of her arched ears peeking through the strands. Her lips were painted blood red, and she moved with an ethereal grace not even the legacy possessed. She was dressed in an elegant ivory dress that was sheer to the point of indecency. Gold jewelry adorned her ears and neck, matching the gold belt slung around her hips. Even her fingers had gold rings, except one. That one was silver and onyx. The female moved to stand beside her, leaning on her arms she had folded along the balcony railing. She stared out across the expanse before them, and Tessa wondered if the female even knew she was there. She hadn't acknowledged her. She hadn't even looked at her. Her question was answered a moment later when the female turned and eyes of gray settled onto Tessa. Tessa could swear there were even glimmers of gold swirling faintly in her eyes. She did not speak. She just looked at Tessa, as if she could see through to her very soul. Another female appeared, as if she stepped from the air. If the first female was stunning, this female was beautiful in a terrifying sort of way. Her dark skin seemed to glow with a silver aura, and her raven black hair floated around her on phantom winds. She had vivid violet eyes and wore a white gown that was stark against her complexion.
It worked. It appears it did.
The first woman's eyes did not leave Tessa, as if she physically couldn't drag them away from her. Tessa still couldn't wrap her mind around what was happening. Should she speak? Drop to a knee? Move? Stay still? The second woman tilted her head and studied Tessa.
Does he know?
I sent word with Altaria. He was unhappy.
This is why I do not mess around with males.
The first woman smirked at her.
After his temper tantrum, he agreed that the reasoning was warranted.
Of course he did.
The second woman rolled her eyes.
You do not have much time, Akira. I can only hold her here for so long.
She called the hunters today.
Suddenly, an emotion Tessa didn't know how to read flickered in the woman's gray eyes. Pride? Maybe. No one had ever looked at her like that.
Did she now? And they responded? How interesting.
The second female's curiosity seemed to triple as she continued to study Tessa.
And the huntresses?
They only answer to him. No one else can summon them, but he will send them, like he did for me. The wild and untamed answered her call as well.
Her father's daughter, she will be powerful.
She already is. It will only grow. My father thought he could use her against me, use her to seek his petty revenge. She will be an unyielding storm in that world, a tempest of wrath and vengeance.
It is time, Akira. The enchantment fades. Anala is entertaining him, but he will sense her presence any moment.
Akira took a step forward, and Tessa gasped when she reached out and took her face between her hands.
Know that sometimes we must break to be forged into who we were meant to be.
Streaks of violet flickered in her eyes like lightning cutting through the flecks of gold. Then she bent and pressed her lips to Tessa's brow.
You will break, Tessalyn. Make sure you get back up and take what is yours.
Tessa sat at the vanity table, staring at her reflection. She was supposed to be getting ready for dinner, but all she could do was think about the strange dream she'd had. The dream that hadn't felt like a dream at all. Yes, she'd been sleeping, but everything about that encounter had felt very real. Which was silly, because how could she have been there and here at the same time? It was impossible. A dream was the only plausible explanation, but still. She jolted awake after the first blonde female had kissed her brow, and she'd nearly knocked Theon's computer to the floor. Still here. Still on the sofa in Theon's suite. She'd stared at him. Swallowing thickly when he'd only stared back at her, not saying a word. She'd bit her lip, tucking her hair behind her ear. Theon had started to reach for her, Some part of her had wanted him to, because that entire thing had been unsettling, not to mention everything that had happened with Pavel and Mateus. But he'd stopped himself, and for the life of her, she couldn't figure out why. Why did he suddenly have an issue with touching her whenever he wanted? After she drank an entire glass of water, he'd send her off to get ready for dinner. She really just wanted to curl up in his giant bed under blankets with a cup of tea and watch the Chaos Sphere game that was on tonight. But that clearly wasn't an option.
Tessa Lynn, are you ready?
She looked over her shoulder to see Theon dressed in a black suit. He wore a black shirt underneath, along with a black tie, and he looked like Aureus himself. Or what she imagined the God of Endings would look like. Tessa's mouth dried out as she met his gaze. Something in his eyes was different too. The shadows were thicker, making his emerald eyes too dark.
Why aren't you ready?
I am. She swiped up a tube of red lipstick, quickly applying it. He had set out a black floor-length dress for her tonight. It was sleeveless, with an extended plunging neckline and a slit up one side that went nearly to the top of her thigh. She had left her hair down, but had curled it so it fell in soft curls around her shoulders. Pen usually did her hair for dinner, and Tessa hoped it was adequate. She stood, and Theon said nothing when he took her hand and hauled her quickly out to the main room. Luca and Axel were waiting, as usual, and Tessa tensed at the looks on their faces. Something was different about them, too. Theon stepped into her line of sight and brought his hand to her cheek.
You know you are expected to behave tonight.
Have I not been meeting expectations at dinner, Theon?
Careful, Tessa Lynn, or you will find greater expectations placed on you.
He leaned forward and brushed a light kiss to her lips. She felt her face flush. He'd never kissed her in front of the others. Not on her lips, anyway. She jerked back from him on instinct, stumbling in her heels, and his arm shot out, snaking around her waist. He tugged her close.
That is considered pulling away. Do not do it again.
Tessa stiffened in his hold, her eyes coming to his. His darkness coiled, tendrils of it reaching out to brush along her jaw, and she sucked in a breath at the feel of it.
Do we have an understanding?
She nodded.
I'm going to need verbal confirmation, Tessa Lynn.
Yes, I understand. The darkness traced down the column of her throat before dissipating. It felt familiar, which made sense considering Theon had forced his magic into her being.
Good.
He reached up and adjusted a lock of her hair before releasing her. But gods, it also made something in her soul stir. She glanced at Luca and Axel. Their features were as hard as Theon's. They were also entirely in black, and while darkness didn't swirl in their eyes, power and violence emanated from them in a way that had her stepping closer to Theon. He pulled her forward. Theon.
Hush.
Axel opened the door for them. Axel hardly glanced at her as she was led into the hallway. Uncertain what was going on or how to react to it, she remained quiet all the way to the dining room. In fact, no one spoke. The males acted like they were going to their death, or rather, like they were going to defeat death. As they approached the dining room, Theon dropped her hand, striding ahead of her without a word. Voltaire and Cressida both sat up a little straighter when they entered the room. Tessa was apparently not the only one who noticed something different about the three of them this evening.
Father.
Theon greeted him with the smallest bow possible, then bent and kissed his mother on the cheek before moving to his seat. Tessa moved behind him as usual, but unlike every other night, he did not immediately tell her to sit. She was utterly baffled. Was he truly upset with her about earlier today? But he'd sworn to her over and over before she'd fallen asleep that he didn't blame her for that.
Sir,
her confusion only escalated as drinks were ordered, and Eviana was allowed to sit while she remained standing. Theon didn't look her way, and neither did Luca or Axel. Voltaire, however, was shooting her curious glances every so often. Eventually, the first course of a chilled soup was placed before each seat.
Tessa Lynn, sit and eat.
And Theon resumed the conversation he was having with his parents. She moved forward cautiously, taking her seat and picking up her spoon. She was just lifting the first spoonful to her mouth when Voltaire apparently couldn't keep his curiosity at bay any longer.
Trouble with your source, son? You do not appear nearly as affectionate tonight.
Thank the gods someone had said it, because she clearly wasn't allowed to voice her confusion.
Everything is fine.
He took a bite of bread. He didn't elaborate further, despite Voltaire clearly expecting more of an explanation.
Is there anything else we need to take care of before we leave for the Acropolis in a few days?
Luca changed the subject before Voltaire could pose further questions. The mention of her children leaving caused Cressida to sob to herself. Tessa tuned out the dinner conversation as they fell into mundane small talk once again. Everything was certainly not fine. Ever since she'd woken up, Theon had been different. His tone had been harsher, and his demands had become firmer. Theon was treating her like a sauce. She nearly dropped her spoon at the realization and sat back in her seat abruptly. The few bites of soup she'd taken churned in her stomach. Theon's gaze shot to her. She thought she saw a flicker of concern flash across those emerald eyes, but if she did, it was gone a moment later. He leaned over to her.
Are you unwell?
She shook her head, despite the tightening in her chest.
Then eat.
He returned to his soup. Tessa swallowed hard, sitting forward once more. Her hand was trembling as she brought her spoon to her lips. She managed to finish her soup and her salad, forcing down the food. Then she had gotten halfway through her main course of steamed fish and rice down.
Tessa.
It took a moment to realize she was being addressed directly by Voltaire.
Tell me, Tessalyn, which element are you predicted to emerge with?
She froze, looking at Theon. She had never once been spoken to during dinner conversation by anyone other than Theon. He wasn't looking at her, though. His eyes were narrowed on his father as he answered for her.
You know her assessments. I'll report her most likely to emerge with the air element.
Can she not speak for herself? You have kept her sequestered away nearly the entire time she has been here. Your mother and I have not been given an opportunity to get to know her, and in 5 days you leave for the Acropolis.
I did not realize you had any interest in getting to know her in such a way.
Well, I assume she is going to be in our lives for the foreseeable future. Surely we should get to know each other a bit, no?
Voltaire took a sip of his liquor.
Perhaps.
Voltaire returned his full attention to Tessa, who had set her fork down beside her plate to avoid accidentally dropping it again. Her hands were clasped tightly in her lap to keep from wringing her fingers. She couldn't falter here. She had quickly learned there was no room for mistakes when it came to the Aureus Lord, and she certainly didn't need Theon even more upset with her. Theon reached over under the table and placed a hand on her knee, squeezing it as if in warning. Was she not supposed to speak? Her chest tightened more, and she tried to control her breathing. She didn't know what she was supposed to do.
Which estate did you reside at, Tessalyn?
Voltaire settled back casually in his chair. Iviana was still eating. So was Cressida. The males, however, were all focused on her. Tessa glanced at Theon again, and he gave a nod to answer.
The Celeste estate, my lord?
And the priestesses performed the assessment for your element there?
At the nearby health compound. Yes, my lord.
How many times? How many tests were done?
She swallowed, her heart beating so rapidly she was sure everyone at the table could hear it.
Tests were performed once a year from the time we turned 10 until we turned 18. Then they were performed seasonally until the selection.
She barely suppressed the shudder that wanted to go down her spine. The tests were not pleasant. Over 5 years of seasonal testings had been agony. The Aureus Lord's hazel eyes focused more closely.
And you scored highest in the wind and air elements every time?
From what I was told, yes. I have never seen the actual reports.
You have seen her results, Father. Why are you interrogating my source regarding her element? We will all know the answer in a few weeks' time.
Because I was given very interesting information today that suggests she will not emerge with the air element. And I'm trying to figure out how such a glaring mistake could have been made on her assessments.
Tessa glanced at Theon, finding his eyes were fixed on his father. She looked across the table to Axel and Luca, but their attention was on the Aureus Lord as well.
And what information is that?
I am told she created that crevice in my gardens with her bare hands, which would highly suggest the earth element.
That's impossible. She has not emerged yet. She couldn't display any sort of magic.
Do you know how the assessments are performed, Theon?
A cruel smile turned up the corner of his mouth. A muscle feathered in Theon's jaw.
Yes.
Then one could assume the events of today would have elicited such a display of power.
Voltaire brought a bite of meat to his mouth with a smirk. Theon slowly set his drink down.
Tell me, father, why were Pavel and Matthias chasing my source through the gardens?
They simply want to get to know her, as your mother and I do, Theon. We're all going to be working together closely, after all.
And coming to my rooms uninvited to meet her without my presence was the appropriate way to get to know her.
Tessa shrank back in her chair as inky shadows drifted around him. Iviana was instantly at Voltaire's side, a snarl on her lips, as she placed herself between the Arius Lord and his son.
Not necessary, Iviana.
Voltaire ran a hand down her back. When he came to her hip, he tugged her down into his lap. His gaze returned to Theon.
Control yourself, or you will be reminded why control is important.
Tessa watched as Theon took several deep breaths, that darkness slowly fading, his fingers flexed on the table, the light glinting off his rings.
As I was saying, the reports I received from Pavel and Matthias today suggest one of three things. Either the assessments performed at her estate were not done properly, the reports in her file are false copies, or your source found a way to hide her true abilities.
Voltaire's gaze settled back on Tessa, and she couldn't get a breath down. Air couldn't get to her lungs, and her chest wouldn't expand to take any in. The assessments were torturous. They were put in situations that elicited natural self-preservation responses and were intended to push dormant magic to the surface. When they were young, the assessments were mild. But for the last 5 years, the tests had been excruciating, involving everything from physical pain to mental distress. It would have been impossible for her to somehow hide her abilities. She didn't even remember displaying any actual magic. More than that, they were not 100% accurate. They were only a series of educated guesses.
Did you know?
Tessa jumped in her seat.
I do not know what you are asking, my lord.
She twisted the fabric of her dress in her fingers.
Did you somehow hide your abilities during your assessments to remain unseen by the other heirs?
No, my lord. That would not be possible.
She may have hidden other things, but there was no way she could have hidden any elemental magic during an assessment.
Then explain the gardens, my dear.
I do not know what happened in the gardens. I do not know how the crevice appeared or what the things were that crawled up from it. I swear.
Calm down, Tessa.
Theon's hand squeezed her knee again.
I swear it's... I swear to you, I don't know what happened in the gardens.
Theon stared back at her, his features hard and tense.
We will discuss this later.
He returned his attention to Voltaire, and her heart fell. He didn't believe her.
This entire conversation is irrelevant. In less than 2 weeks, she will emerge along with all the other Fae of Age, and we will know what her element is.
I've made arrangements for her to be reevaluated by a priestess in Rockmore in 2 days.
That is not your decision to make. She is mine, not yours.
I will not be caught off guard at the emerging ceremony, Theon. You should be the one demanding this, not me. Your source has kept secrets from you.
How I deal with my source is not your concern.
Wrong, boy!
Voltaire slammed his fist onto the table.
She will reflect upon this kingdom as much as you and your brother do. We cannot appear weak, ever, and certainly not right now.
How would her having the earth element versus the air element change anything?
The more intensive assessment the priestess will perform will not only assess her probable element, but also her power level. Something not routinely done in the generic assessments unless requested. The other heirs would have had these advanced tests done before they chose their sources. It will put us on a more even playing field.
Tell him the other good news.
Cressida's hand came to rest on her husband's arm.
A potential match is visiting Rockmore and will be at the Acropolis all year for the selection proceedings. I have arranged for you to have lunch with her after the assessment is finished.
Voltaire pushed his plate back for a Fae server to remove.
For fuck's sake.
Theon sat back in his seat and took a long drink of his whiskey.
Is that really necessary right now? We have far more important things to be focusing on.
I did not say the match was decided.
Voltaire's fist tightened around his glass.
I said you were going to meet her.
I can meet her another day.
You will meet her in 2 days in Rockmore. It would be ideal to have a match arranged before the end of the selection year.
Everyone else's plates were cleared from the table. Tessa hadn't finished her food.
She was too shocked by the conversations taking place around her right now.
Yes, I would love some time to get to know my future daughter-in-law before a union ceremony, Theon.
Cressida brought her wine to her lips. It was red. Dark red. Blood red. She had never drank from a clear wine glass before. It had always been a silver or gold chalice. This was crystal, though, and Tessa had never seen wine that color.
You can at least meet her.
Perhaps you should meet her. You will need a match, too.
Maybe she has a sister.
Oh, fuckwit.
Theon flipped him off.
Theon!
Enough! Taking a match is part of your responsibility as an heir. The sooner an agreement is reached, the sooner our focus can be moved to other things.
The table fell silent as desserts were placed in front of everyone. Tessa reached for her fork, but Theon lifted his hand from her knee and slid her plate over beside his own. Was he seriously depriving her of dessert now, too? This was the only sugar he ever let her have, and only when they dined with his family. Theon pushed his chair back slightly before reaching over and tugging on Tessa's hand. She glanced up, his eyes dark with fury as he tugged her a little harder. Getting to her feet in resignation, she moved to stand behind him at the wall. She certainly wasn't going to risk sitting at his feet again. But before she could take a step, he pulled her to him and down into his lap. Surprise coursed through her as his arm wrapped around her waist. Her heart leapt, and pleasure darted up her spine.
What is her name, then?
Theon picked up a fork and cut off a piece of the chocolate and caramel cream pie.
Felicity Davers.
Theon didn't respond, lifting the fork. But instead of bringing it to his mouth, he raised it before Tessa's lips. Confused, she met his eyes. The anger still glimmered in them, along with that new hardness that had appeared this afternoon. But something far more primal was there, too. Without breaking his stare, she opened her mouth and let him slide the fork between her lips. His eyes dipped to the movement, that primal thing flaring brighter.
Davers?
Theon went for another piece of pie.
Yes, of the Grossel bloodline. I gave you her file the other morning. Have you looked through any of them?
No.
Theon still did not look at his father.
I have been busy.
He fed another piece of pie to Tessa before taking a bite of his own. Tessa was so flustered she didn't know what to do with herself. After the gardens, he had taken care of her. Then she'd woken up and he'd given her the cold shoulder. Now he was feeding her dessert? He was going from hot to cold to hot again so quickly she didn't know what to expect from one moment to the next.
Then I suggest taking a break and looking them over before you leave for Rockmore. Unless you wish for me to simply make the decision for you.
Of course not. If someone is going to be required to be by my side for the rest of my life, I will damn well be deciding who that someone will be.
Just make sure the contract is contingent upon production of an acceptable heir. I want a clause in there stating if she cannot produce a sufficient heir within a certain time frame, the contract is null and void, and you are free to pursue another match.
There will be far more contingencies than that in my match contract.
And there should be. No one gets to simply join the Arya's ruling family without proving their worth.
Agreed.
Theon brought another bite to Tessa's mouth. She couldn't help the soft hum that escaped her at the decadence hitting her taste buds again, and Theon's eyes went even brighter, some of that darkness leaving them. He set the fork down and brought his thumb to the corner of her lips before pushing it into her mouth. He held her gaze as she swiped her tongue along the pad of his thumb. Then he was suddenly pushing her to her feet.
Anything else this evening, Father?
Make sure you review those files, Theon.
Voltaire waved them off in dismissal. Theon didn't reach for her. He simply left her to follow him as he moved to the door. Luca and Axel got to their feet as well. A fae opened the double doors, but before Theon exited the dining room, he paused and looked over his shoulder.
Just so we are clear, Father, if anyone lays a hand on what is mine without my permission again, they will beg for Arius to come for them before I am through, whether or not we have an alliance with them.
Voltaire narrowed his eyes at his son.
They will wish for the pits over what I will do to them.
Tessa expected Voltaire to become angry at being told such a thing, but instead, a cruel grin curled at the corner of his lips.
I would expect nothing else from the Arius heir, Theon.
Tessa followed Theon out of the dining room. Luca and Axel brushed past her without a word or glance.
Seriously, why was she getting the cold shoulder from all three of them? Luca was a broody ass, so he didn't particularly surprise her. But Axel? The group reached the stairwell.
I thought you were going to lose it in there.
I nearly did, but it wouldn't have done any good. Not yet, anyway.
Theon's entire body was tense, and she didn't know if she should speak or not. She hated feeling so goddamn unsettled.
I think he got the message.
You think? The look on his face when Theon pulled Tessa into his lap was priceless. He knows Theon will be just as powerful as he is soon, if not more so. That's why he's so concerned about her element. You know it, I know it, the fucking fates know it.
There was a spring in Axel's step, as if this was the most exciting news of the evening. But that was why Theon had pulled her into his lap? To make a subtle jab at his father that he would soon be more powerful as soon as he could draw power from her?
What are you doing, Tessa?
She looked up to find the three of them standing in front of the suite door. Theon's eyes were narrowed on her. She had stopped moving when they'd turned down their hallway. All she would ever be to him was a pawn in a game among the legacy, a piece of property to be used however her master saw fit. The documents Theon had shown her days ago flashed through her mind, and she was suddenly crushed under the weight of missing Dex and Lang and her friends, people who wanted her for her, not what she could give them.
Tessa Lynn!
She drew in a deep breath, pushing it out as she forced her feet to move. They stepped aside to let her enter first, none of them saying a word.